This is one in a series of podcasts produced by the Departments of Classics and Judaic Studies at the University of Cincinnati. In these podcasts, you'll be hearing faculty and graduate students from these departments and from other nearby institutions discussing aspects of ancient Mediterranean culture relating to Qumran and the Dead Sea Scrolls.
This is your roving archaeological reporter, Barbara Burrell, and I'm standing before the ruins of the famous site of Qumran, where some think the Dead Sea Scrolls were written. We're about a mile from the Dead Sea, which I can see as a hazy ribbon of blue with the mountains of Jordan beyond. Qumran is set on a high desert plateau ringed by the deep canyons cut by seasonal rivers. In the strata of the limestone cliffs around me, every shadow seems to be a cave. In fact, 11 caves in the neighborhood of Qumran produced about 900 Dead Sea Scrolls and fragments. From here, I can see the dark triangle of the famous Cave 4, where about 500 of the scrolls were found. There is still a lot of controversy about this ancient settlement. Who lived at Qumran? Was it where the Dead Sea Scrolls were written or collected? Was it a fortress? A mansion, an agricultural center, a pottery workshop, or a commune for the ancient Jewish sect called Essenes? Though this site was excavated over 50 years ago by a Dominican priest named Roland DeVoe, he only wrote preliminary and popular accounts of what he found at Qumran and died in 1971 before publishing a final report. His methods and recording system left much uncertain, and his finds were dispersed among various collections. Some, including over 1,000 coins, can't even be located today, though they establish that the site was inhabited from the late 2nd century BCE to sometime in or after 68 CE, the time of the first Jewish revolt. As I walk around the site, I can see that it is an interconnected complex, mainly built of irregular local field stones. In some places, the walls still stand over 10 feet high. The central part features a big square tower with sloping lower walls, but this sort of defensive watchtower appears in agricultural estates in this period and doesn't mean that the site was necessarily a fortress. I can see a central core and several outbuildings, each with open courtyards and an extensive water system connecting them. Channeling and storing water was crucial here in the desert. Winter rain can fill these dry riverbeds in explosive floods, but only once a year, and every drop has to be directed to a plastered cistern where it can be stored for use. As well as channels to lead the water and cisterns and reservoirs for storage, the site contains many stepped pools, which some identify as Jewish ritual baths. All Jews used such baths in some circumstances, and Essenes were noted for bathing several times a day. But there is debate as to how many of these pools are really baths. One recent study states that at least some were used to collect clay sediment to make pottery with. And if some pools are baths, how many baths would be enough to identify a site as Essenes? There are some rooms that I can identify by their structure or by the artifacts found there. For example, one room has three ovens, a mud brick platform, and a paved area with signs of burning. This was almost certainly a kitchen. Several pottery workshops are clear from kilns and bits of pottery that were misfired. DeVoe identified Qumran's largest room as the communal dining hall. Over 1,000 pottery bowls, plates, and cups were stacked in a disused pantry next door. Outside this hall, and elsewhere on the plateau, many disjointed bones of sheep, goats, and cattle, both young and adult, were buried in jars or between potsherds. But again, scholars argue about whether these bones represent remains of ritual meals or simply burying the garbage to keep from attracting predators. Another large room is thought to be the place where the Dead Sea Scrolls were written. Two unusual small vessels that may have been inkwells were found here. DeVoe also found fragments of what he thought was a plaster bench and table for writing. But when pieced together, the table was only knee height, too low to write at. Its position among the debris indicates that it came from a collapsed second floor. The best evidence for writing at Qumran comes from ostraca, potsherds with brief texts in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek scripts. No scrolls have been found in the settlement, but then it was destroyed by fire, and little of anything that could burn has survived. Though not visible today, in a large room at the east side of the complex, DeVoe found a mud-lined pit with a clay pipe down its center that may have been an ancient toilet. The ancient historian Josephus, however, wrote that the Essenes went far outside their settlements to use the toilet. Recently, soil samples were taken from areas around Qumran, and one taken beyond a bluff to the west has been found to contain several types of human intestinal parasites. I continue to walk outside the settlement, along the eastern side of the plateau. Cemeteries consisting of well over 1,000 graves marked with heaps of small stones were located in this area. Around 70 have been excavated. Most were single bodies with few or no grave goods, though there were one or two with wooden coffins, and one grave recently found contained only jars that may have once held date syrup. The skeletons excavated by DeVoe were fragmentary, poorly recorded, misidentified, and not carefully kept. A reexamination of one group has found a normal proportion of women and children as well as men, but anthropologists don't even agree on that. Even so, the demography of an entire community that may have lasted over 200 years can't be established from so small a proportion. And what about the connection between Qumran, the caves, and their scrolls? It is true that most of the caves are near the settlement. Not only would activity around the caves have been noticed by anyone living at Qumran, but those caves in the side of the plateau itself, like Cave 4, were dug by hand, undoubtedly by people who lived at Qumran at some point. Pottery from the caves is like that of Qumran, but also like pottery from other contemporary sites, such as Jericho. Though not all scrolls were written at the same time or using the same materials, there are some with Dead Sea connections. One scroll's ink was found to be moistened with Dead Sea water, and some parchment was made from skin of the desert ibex. Though DeVoe and many subsequent scholars saw Essenes living in Qumran like poor monks in the desert, Josephus only says that Essenes were mainly male, lived communally at many places in Judea, bathed often, and ate in silence. Would they have used all the coins found at Qumran? And if so, for what? Would such a settlement have had any use as a fortification? Could enough have been grown here to make an agricultural estate feasible? Or how would a community of potters have used such large interconnected rooms with no real sign of bedrooms or family spaces? Of course, the site could have had different uses over time, perhaps beginning as a fortified settlement and ending as a refuge. Scholars are still fighting about what Qumran means, and few take into account all the evidence against their pet theories as well as that in their favor. But we never quite have the last word in archaeology, and all this debate should lead to further and more careful studies. We hope that future scholars will be able to tell us more about Qumran.
This concludes the podcast, but you can find others in this series at our website, classics.uc.edu/podcasts, or look us up on iTunes and leave a review on our Facebook page, facebook.com/uc.classics.outreach. To learn more about our outreach program of public lectures, email outreach@classics.uc.edu. To learn more about the exhibit, Dead Sea Scrolls, Life and Faith in Ancient Times, at the Cincinnati Museum Center, opening November 16, 2012, go to cincymuseum.org/dead-sea-scrolls. These podcasts have been made possible by the support of a Society Outreach Grant from the Archaeological Institute of America. For more information, you can visit their website, archaeological.org.